Well, how was your Christmas? New Year. It's been good. The weather has improved, and wow, we've got everybody back at church plus a few visitors. It's my privilege today to share with you a few thoughts from Psalm 42. It's not my choice of a psalm. I found it hard work, but like with all hard work, you can actually get some real benefit from it. So it's been very helpful to me. About 3 months ago, the gazanias on our front wall, we planted last year these nice gazanias across our front retaining wall. And they looked a picture. They started to drape over the side. And about 3 months ago, they started one by one to be disappearing. We blamed the local school kids. They walked past the wall every day, and so we watched out for them very carefully. Never caught them, but every day there were more gazanias missing. There were pieces on the footpath, there were pieces through the garden. Then we noticed little hoof prints in the garden. Yes, the deer had come. We live at Lake Katai. There's quite a lot of deer down around the lake, and they were making their way up to our place, which is a fair way from the lake. In the dark of the night, they made their way past houses and streets and street lights to this lovely dessert that they'd found. And there's not much of it left. They just about cleaned them all up. And it's about 15 metres of it altogether. In the process, managed to kill one of our other plants off with their sharp little hooves. But as we're thinking in the beginning of our passage today about David's reference to the deer, I was encouraged by the fact that this is a new year. As a church, we're being encouraged to get into the Word of God, to get together in our home groups, to grow in our faith, to grow up a bit in the faith by reading the Scriptures more or listening harder at church, maybe. And I thought, well, these deer were pretty keen. They had to come a long way just to... And every night they came back for some more. In spite of the dangers, in spite of the difficulties, that dessert was what they were after. And I was thinking to myself, and maybe you can think about this too, if only I was so keen about reading the Bible. You know, it was that important that I have to come back, make time. Sometimes it's dangerous to read the Bible too. It tells you to do things that you're not prepared to think about. So I found that challenging. And I hope that this year that I will become more committed to spending time in the Word of God. But let's get back to David. If you've got your Bibles open, you would find that in the first verse of Psalm 42, David starts this way. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. What a strange thing to say. And off the top of our heads, we might think that's pretty straightforward. But just think about it for a moment. When a deer goes for a drink, does it normally pant? Doesn't it go very quietly down to the water hole and get its drink quietly so it's not disturbed? In the original Hebrew, the word is actually braying, as the deer brays. It's a sound of a distressing sound. You know what animals are like when they need food and water? They stand out. And David knew what the sound of a braying deer was. Don't forget, David lived for many years as a young man on the fields and pastures of Judah, out in the place where shepherds cared for their sheep. He knew the sound of the bear and the lion and of the wolf and of the deer that was troubled, the deer that was thirsty. The deer, unless it got water, it would die. And he identified with that. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. We get that feeling that it wasn't David saying to God, I need a top-up in my faith. I need to sort of, you know, have a bit of a recharge. He's talking about his need for God to be like idea that was dying of thirst, that needed thirst, he was saying, my soul is dry. I need God. He was at a turning point in his life. If you remember the life of David, he went from being an uncomplicated shepherd to being a giant killer, and then to go on to be the son-in-law to the king, to be a hero, idolized by his people, certainly next in that line for the throne. He had riches, he had everything. But Saul was unbalanced, and he was determined to kill David. And after several attempts, David knew he had to get away. And he left everything behind. He left his wife, left his goods, his reputation. If you read down, you see that people were making fun of him, saying, you know, where's your God? How good is this God of yours? David left all this behind. He goes on to say, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? There was an urgency. There was a need. There was a hunger. He really needed to get to know God better. Friends, I'm sure that when David was young and on the fields caring for sheep, we know from his other writings in the Psalms and elsewhere and Samuel and so on, that he was able to deal with lions and bears, a 3 meter tall Goliath. He dealt with him. How could he do that? His faith as a young man was uncomplicated and simple and real. Can we relate to that? Do you remember when you became a Christian? Was your faith a bit like that, where you would... Well, the only people who were embarrassed were probably your parents. They saw you as this fanatic who loved Jesus and wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. David had that fresh faith that when he went to stand before Goliath, this man who was daring to threaten the people of God, he wasn't frightened, this small man against a 10-foot tall person, because God was stronger than him. What did Jesus say? You know, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can make the mountain move. He made this mountain move with a tiny pebble. I'm sure David was looking back. He was saying, I need that kind of faith again. I'm dry. So how about you? Where are you at? Yeah? When you think about it, you've got your homes, your families, jobs, possessions, activities, diversions, recreation, maybe even your good health. Maybe everything is going pretty good. But do you need to go back? Back to the simple, ordinary, straightforward, clean faith of walking with God. I think if I was to ask most of you, how's your spiritual life? You would say, oh, good. Like when you go to the doctor says, how are you? We say, good. When we're not, we're unhealthy. We're going along to the doctor for a reason. We're the only ones that know where we are in relation to God. When you read further down the passage, we come to other things that David has to say. He talks about his tears has been his food day and night, about people who were teasing and making fun of him. He talks about missing out on what was important to him in leadership within the church and being part of the congregation. He talks about those deep, dark times in his life. Down in verse 7, deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. When Sire talks about that, James Sire talks about the meaning of this idea of deep. In the Old Testament, he points out, it's a time when the soul and the mind are in a hole. There's a darkness. It's a place that no one wants to go. but a place that many of us end up going. That place where somehow God is far away. Somehow or other our prayers don't seem to reach him. Somehow the things of our life have become big and terrible. It may be a relationship thing, a money thing. It may be a loss of a job. It may be the loss of a loved one. All of these things can make us feel that this is too big for us. And somehow or other, we don't seem to be able to connect with God. David felt just like this. He felt that he was being drowned, that God had overwhelmed him, that he was sinking and he couldn't communicate. He longs, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you, for the living God. So how are you going? How's your walk with God at the moment? Is it the sort of doctor's answer? Okay? Or deep down, do you know you need to go back? Go back to those roots of when faith was simple, straightforward, and you walked each day with God. When you prayed and things happened. Listening to Nathan talking about the brown eyes, I can remember in our family, in my life and our family's life, where when our kids were young, we prayed for the most ridiculous things, like a canary escaping from a cage and expecting to come back, and it did. And many other ridiculous things which came from a pure, simple faith that believed that God was in control. David knew that he was missing. He was dry. Are you dry? Have you got the freshness, the joy that comes from being in touch with God? My ministry finished just like that. Things were going well. Church was growing. People were being converted. I was feeling reasonably good. My health wasn't good, but things were going fine. And I had a real meltdown. Couldn't understand it. Had difficulty relating to God. Could barely call God's name out. And yet, like David says down in verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony and my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? We can feel away from God. And yet, because God is our rock, our anchor, he allows us to take this road. I look back now and thank God for that thing that happened. It stopped me. I now spend more time with God, one-to-one, than I ever have. God becomes your anchor at a time when we need to. Friends, let's not put ourselves in the situation that I found myself, where God says, you won't listen, so there's only one way to stop you. I'll turn off the juice. And next thing you know, I'm a David. Next thing, you're a David. Don't let your life, your aims, your money, your future, personal plans be what's important. Christ has a place for you each day in his family. Friends, we need that. I'd like to say two other things before I finish up today. I was fascinated by his references in verse 4, where he talks about leading, how I used to go with a multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. This has touched me. I mean, it touched my heart in the sense I thought, that's church. David misses going to church. He missed being a leader. He missed being a member. And yet God took him away from that. Maybe that's saying to us that we can actually be in the church, busy in the church, active in the church, attending church, and still not having this special relationship with God. This one-to-one, gentle, quiet, real relationship with God. I found some years ago that God is more interested in me than he is in my ministry. I don't know whether you found that or not. But God wants me to know him, to enjoy him. This is what it's all about in being brought back by redemptive work of Jesus, that we are reconnected with God in that special way where we now walk with him. That our life not just has purpose, but is full of joy and meaning. That when we pray, we expect things to happen. We don't look for the approval of others. We don't work in the church to make an impression or to try and do the right thing. But God is really concerned about where you are as a person. Well, just very quickly, I was fascinated by this because I'd been reading about the life of Richard Johnson. Now, we're almost at Australia Day, so I'm sort of cutting across somebody else's sermon maybe, but I'll try. You know who Richard Johnson was, don't you? He was the first rector, minister, pastor to the Australian colony. What you may not know is that in 1787, John Newton, of Amazing Grace, wrote a poem for Richard Johnson. And he calls it Going to Botany Bay. It's probably the first poem written in English about Australia. I'll read it to you. The Lord, and he's writing this to Richard Johnson before he goes. O Lord, who sends thee hence, he will be thine aid. In vain at thee the lion or danger roars, his arm and love shall keep thee undismayed. On tempest-tossed seas and savage shores, go bear the Saviour's name into lands unknown and tell to the southern world his wondrous grace. All energy divine thy word shall own to draw their untaught hearts to seek his face. It was like a commissioning of Richard. Many in quest of gold or empty fame would compass earth or venture near the poles, but how much more nobler thy reward and aim to spread his praise and win immortal souls. I read that because Richard Johnson makes reference to Psalm 42. 10 years after his arrival in Botany Bay, in writing back to friends in England, they keep writing to him and saying, you've done your bit, it's time to go home. He said, I've been here 10 years and things have been really bad. The first 3 years of his life, he lived in a cabbage tree house built of cabbage tree leaves and poles. They lost their first child in the first year of their being here. The governor, Philip, he didn't like evangelicals. He called this guy a Methodist. And he did all he could to keep him out of being active in reaching everybody. He had 1,000 people to look after. Yet, he believed that the gospel was his calling. He had to come to Australia to proclaim this truth, this release. And he writes back after 10 years and he says that, it's been tough, but the thing I miss most of all is church. I miss going along with my friends and worshipping in church. That struck a bit of a sore spot in me because I thought, yes, there are people we know who can't get to church. How much they feel. There are missionaries on fields who would love to be in church with their friends, comfortable chairs, air conditioning, lots of friends, coffee afterwards. There are people in nursing homes, shut-ins, hostels. Around us, there are many people who, up to the time of they're unable to attend church, love to come to church. They love to worship God. So I try to put myself in their place. what would I want when I reach the stage of not being able to go along? I want to still be part of the body. So maybe it's a challenge that I can throw out to you. It's been a challenge to me that we think and act in such a way that others who are missing the fellowship that comes from being part of our church, our body, that we do something about it. This is a new year, isn't it? We look back and, well, maybe you've had a chance this morning to think about, what was my life like last year? Have I made any inroads at all into my faith passage? What's my journey like? Have I grown? Let's not just make some kind of resolution. Let's make a revolution. Let's get in there and do it. Change our lives. Go to a home group. Be a part of what the church is doing and reaching into our community. And find ways in which we can be there for those who belong to our body, like the aged and the infirmed and missionaries. Well, I could say a lot more, but I won't. I didn't get anywhere near this whole of Psalm 42. But it's a wonderful psalm, and even though on the surface of it, it seems like a very sad psalm, the kind of psalm that you start to read and think, oh, that's awful. So sad. That man is in such trouble. But friends, I believe that David actually probably valued that time of his life probably more than most others, because he was so in need of God that he knew he had to do something about it, and he reached out that his life might not be barren and dry, but joyful and powerful. How about you? Is your life barren and dry? Are you just going along? Are the things of this world more important to you than a wonderful walk with the Lord Jesus? Is the Spirit of God doing amazing things in your life? Well, how about a revolution in your lives too? Let's pray. Father, the scriptures are powerful. When we read the scriptures, it's the living word, and your Holy Spirit takes these words and speaks to us all differently. Lord, there are people here today who have been moved in different ways, but we pray that the move may be to know you better. Help us, Lord, if we are in the pits. Help us, Lord, to hang on to the rock and to believe that you, Lord, are refining and changing, and you will bring us through to joy and peace and contentment into a life and relationship which is far better. Lord, if we're lazy, help us, Lord, today to put that behind us and to hunger and thirst for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.